This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is a great day after what may have been the last of the televised hearings by the January 6th committee. They concluded with what they said was a big surprise, which was a unanimous vote by the members of the committee, 2 Republicans, 7 Democrats, a unanimous vote by that committee to subpoena the former president of the United States, Donald John Trump. Will that subpoena mean anything? Should it mean anything? The New York Times is reporting today that apparently Trump has not closed the door on testifying before the committee. But he has certain conditions, and the conditions would be that it be live testimony, that it not be edited afterward or somehow chopped up or oriented by videotaped testimony and interchange between him and the committee members. And a lot of people are saying that there's no chance that Trump would testify. And my question for John Yoo, who is a distinguished legal scholar, he is the Emanuel S. Heller Chairholder in Law at the University of California at Berkeley. He is a non-resident senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute and a visiting fellow at Hoover Institution. He's also a veteran of the Bush administration. John, if you were advising President Trump, would you advise him to avoid testifying, avoid responding to this subpoena at all costs?
Michael, it's great to be back with you, and I'd say, yes, definitely. Don't testify. There's two reasons. One is what's in President Trump's interests, but more importantly is what's in the presidency as an institution's interests. And the second point, I think, should be the most important one. We generally don't have a parliamentary system like you see in England, where they have those prime minister's questions, where the prime minister has to show up and is basically browbeaten by questions from both sides of parliament. And that's because a prime minister in England works for parliament, works for Congress. We have a very different system where the presidency and the Congress are institutionally separate. I don't think we want to create a tradition and practice where Congress basically claims superiority over the presidency and can demand that the president show up in the Congress and answer questions. Now, of course, Trump's the former president, but this could start to erode this line that we've been so careful to observe for so long of keeping the two branches separate. In terms of Trump's personal interests, I also don't see why he'd want to do this. If he wants to answer the questions that the January 6th committee has put up, why not just give a speech? Why not do an interview? Why not do a closed circuit pay-per-view where he could challenge Liz Cheney to a one-on-one debate? I don't see what he gets out of subjecting himself to be a witness where they're going to just go after him. And it's going to be unfair. They're going to be able to gavel him to be quiet. They're going to be able to sanction him if he won't shut up. It's a terrible for him.
There have been, again, you answered the next question I was going to ask, which has been a lot of people have said, well, it's obvious that the select committee was selected based upon people who were ready to be very harsh to President Trump. There are no President Trump loyalists of any kind, or even Trump allies of any kind at all on that committee. But other than the idea of just giving a speech is, because right now, you watched the committee hearings yesterday, I take it.
Yes, yes.
And this is their ninth hearing, I believe, and probably will be their last. They laid out a number of questions yesterday in particular about what the Secret Service knew about the violent nature of some of the protesters who were being brought to Washington at Mr. Trump's behest. Are there questions that you heard raised by this latest committee hearing that you believe deserve some kind of answer more than we've received one?
Oh, yes. I think the hearing yesterday, it didn't really provide a lot of new information. It provided a lot more illustration of things we already knew. And that is, we knew that there were a lot of people who went up on the Capitol on January 6th. There was, in that group, a core of people who were up to no good, who were training almost like a military, like military units, to try to disrupt the counting of the electoral vote. And these were very bad figures, you know, oath keepers and so on. And we also knew before that President Trump wanted to figure out some way to challenge the election results, that he thought maybe he could still win in some way by challenging the legitimacy of those electoral votes. But what's still out there, Michael, you asked the right question. What is there left to still be answered? Is there a link between the two? Is there a link between President Trump and those people who attacked the Capitol? That's the smoking gun. And even I remember we talked when the hearings first started, and I remember saying to you, that's the thing that this committee really will need to answer. Is there any link between the two? Without that link, I don't think the committee has made the case that it badly wanted to make, that Trump's really responsible for the attack on the Capitol. I think what they proved, though, I think we knew this January 7th and January 6th itself, was that Trump was derelict, that he didn't do anything that he should have done to stop the attack or to send troops or police to the Capitol to protect it. But the real question is, did he actually do something to try to have the attack occur? That's the thing we still need to know.
Well, we do know that he urged people to go up to the Capitol. It was his idea that he expressed in his speech at the Ellipse. And he initially had indicated he was going to come up along with them. Of course, that appears to have been blocked by the Secret Service, much to President Trump's chagrin. The one question that troubles me most, and it's a question that I don't think anyone's attempted to answer, is, okay, what's the best case scenario? If you have summoned tens of thousands of people to Washington with a promise that it's going to be wild, what's going to be the happy ending that comes from sending people marching up to the Capitol building at a time when they're trying to finish the certification of the electoral votes? What was Trump hoping for?
You mean, what's the best story from Trump's perspective?
For anyone's perspective. In other words, how does this have a happy ending?
I don't think it has a happy ending, but I think my guess would be, if you're Trump's advisors or supporters, I think the best case you can make with the facts, believing everything the January 6th committee presented is true, and I tend to believe most of the facts they presented were true, even despite the one-sided nature of the committee, then I think this is why Trump's state of mind is so important. Maybe he's just unleashing chaos. He could just be saying, I'm just going to call for people to go down to the Capitol, have a protest. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. And this is not unlike the way he governed as president. Sometimes, he's sort of the guy who just sort of, he's like letting the bet go. Let the winning bets keep rolling on the table at the casino. He's just a gambler. That's the best possible story I could think of for Trump. I mean, I hear accounts of people saying, oh, no, he was just encouraging peaceful protest. He didn't really want anything to happen. I don't see the evidence for that in the January 6th hearings, too. The most I see is just that he was willing to let things run.
We will let things run if we can with some of the other legal issues that they may not dominate the election of 2022, but they'll be important in 2024 with John Hugh of University of California, Berkeley. We'll be right back. Washington Policy Center sounded the alarm on the stealth income tax on capital gains and exposed emails showing the ultimate goal of a broad-based income tax. Join WPC for as little as $5 a month and subscribe to our weekly newsletter or plan an elegant evening out and come see the 70th Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and filmmaker and researcher Chris Rufo keynoting our annual dinner in Bellevue. That's on Friday, October 14th. Tickets and details at WPCdinner.com. Free history show streaming and a download of our daily show ad-free. That's what you get for all of 22 cents a day when you join us as a member, MedHead Plus. This is one of the great deals available to try to enhance appreciation for this greatest nation on God's green earth. Check it out at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
The stock market has you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not conditioned to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, an honor to be joined always by Professor John Hugh of the University of California at Berkeley, who is a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute and a visiting fellow at the Hoover Institution. one of the nation's leading legal scholars and commentators on matters involving the American system of law and justice. A quick final question about President Trump and his future and the race of 2024 and what he faces coming up. I was just trying to total them. There are more than a half dozen areas of legal vulnerability the president faces, a former president. He's supposed to be giving a deposition in the E. Jean Carroll case, which is a defamation case that was filed against President Trump by a lady who is also accusing him of rape. And President Trump is just applied to have the deposition he's supposed to be giving postponed, and that was turned down by the courts. Aside from testifying in a case involving defamation, allegedly, of a woman who's accused him of rape years ago, and the ongoing problems he has with the idea of moving papers that were top secret that didn't belong to him, moving them around in Mar-a-Lago. Now there's apparently footage about that. And the issue in Georgia and the issue about his company in New York and going on. Is there a point at which these various legal cases become a problem for President Trump's future, or do you suspect, as many Republicans do, that it will only increase public sympathy for President Trump as a victim of one witch hunt after another?
Well, there's another option, I think, also, which is President Donald Trump may think this is winning the presidency is the only way to halt all of these things. He might see these all as an effort. I'm sure he does see all these cases as efforts to harass him out of running for president again. And he might think, he certainly knows that, when he's president, several of these cases would have to be put on hold or have to stop. And for example, look at this news about the January 6th committee subpoenaing him to appear. He knows that if the Republicans win the House in 2022, in this November elections, that they could just remove any subpoena and then that will go away. He might think that the criminal investigation into whether he's responsible for January 6th would go away if he wins. A lot of this other litigation he might see as, and I think the New York Attorney General's investigation claiming misrepresentations in his financial dealings in New York real estate is of this nature. He might think this is all kind of harassment, and that if he can actually win the presidency, it might stop. But I have to say, Michael, I have never seen any single politician, not even Bill Clinton, being subject to such a barrage of lawsuits at so many different levels involving so many different separate issues. There might be a whole law firm which could just be be in business just representing him in all his different lawsuits. I don't know. I think it almost energizes him, keeps him going. Rather, most normal people would find it as reason to leave politics and not run for office again.
Yeah, well, again, it's a very, very high level of controversy, all very personally focused. There's another high level of controversy on the abortion issue. There's a piece in Forbes magazine, and we also have several instances of this directly in the Pacific Northwest, where I live, where cities... they have an article by Allison Durkee in Forbes. It says, more cities from Boise to Waco pursue abortion protections or bans despite state laws. And really, there are major cities, Alamogordo, New Mexico. It's around the country in Louisiana and Texas and elsewhere where cities are attempting to take the lead in either banning abortion entirely or basically protecting abortion rights regardless of what state governments decide. Is this a legally viable strategy?
I think is until the states make their choices. So you know, cities are free to have their own policies subject to the law of their states. So this is going to happen, I think, in states where you're still seeing fighting. In places like Michigan, there were recent developments. But states have to decide what's their policy going to be on abortion. Until they do that, then these cities and counties are going to step into the breach. But the most important thing, I think it's important to leave listeners with this point, though, is that this was the point of Dobbs in the first place, was to get the federal government out of the business of abortion and have the question returned to states. That's where the Constitution wants the question to be handled, at the state level. People who care about abortion, pro-life, pro-choice, are being reminded now again of the importance of state politics and of city and county politics. And so actually this is, to me, a healthy, robust demonstration of the democratic process working after Dobbs returned the question back to the politics and away from the courts.
Well, they say in Forbes, among the cities that have passed measures are New Orleans, Boise, Dayton, Ohio, Atlanta, Athens, Georgia, Nashville, Austin, all of which, most of them, attempting to have a more, one would say, pro-abortion rights rules applying than at a state level. That's not going to work. If for instance,
no.
Nashville, Tennessee, has a strong anti-abortion law that the legislature will pass, it can't work for Nashville to say, no, we don't buy it.
That's right. They can't. A city and a county can't defy the law of their state, and that runs both ways. I mean, a state might be more liberal, and some cities and counties might be more conservative, too. That's actually often the case in California, where there are some cities and counties that don't want to legalize marijuana, but California generally does. And there's a lot of cases like this where a city and county cannot defy the law of their state. I mean, that's just normal.
And again, it's basically an outline for, we have a federal system, and that people do have rights that are reserved to the states, rights to legislate and to make laws. But this is new ground with the cities attempting it. I think your point is brilliant, which is, the states have to decide, and so much of it is uncertain at this point. And a huge political issue, at least the Democrats want it to be. How is that working out? More coming up on the MedVed Show. Thank you to John Yu.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is speaking at the International Monetary Fund's annual meeting Friday. Yellen notes that inflation isn't a problem specific to the United States.
Many of these challenges stem from Russia's terrible war in Ukraine and the continued recovery from the pandemic.
Republicans have blamed inflation on the COVID-19 relief packages President Biden and congressional Democrats passed last year. A grieving California couple is suing Amazon for what they call suicide kits. Their 17-year-old son took his own life last year using sodium nitrite he bought online. The family claims a retail giant knowingly sold a chemical some describe as more dangerous than cyanide. Two other families are also suing. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
The song is called Sunflower, and it is from one of the 234 Spider-Man movies that have come out so far. There's another seemingly endless series of movies, the Halloween movies. This is the 13th installment. It's called Halloween Ends. We will be covering that later in this show. But concerning sunflowers, The headline is one of Van Gogh's famous sunflower paintings at the London's National Gallery was attacked. And it was attacked by people wearing T-shirts saying, "Just stop oil." Well, they didn't stop oil. They threw what looked to be tomato soup all over this priceless masterpiece. And when you say priceless, there are 8 different sunflower paintings that Van Gogh did, and they are all, you're talking perhaps approaching $1 billion per painting. This is the way that the confrontation between a priceless masterpiece and some brainless protesters played out. This is clip 5. Okay, the way it's covered in BBC.com is there is good news. 2 people were arrested. The footage showed 2 people in Just Stop Oil T-shirts opening tin cans and throwing the contents on the masterpiece before gluing their hands to the wall, which I guess meant that the hands had to be cut off before they could be led away and arrested. I'm don't think that was the case. The gallery said after the incident that fortunately the painting was covered by glass and therefore not damaged. The just after 11 a.m. this morning, two people entered room 43 of the National Gallery. That's from the National Gallery. The pair appeared to glue themselves to the wall adjacent to Van Gogh's sunflowers, 1888. They also threw a red substance, what appeared to be tomato soup, over the painting. The room was cleared of visitors and police were called. Officers are now on the scene. There is some minor damage to the frame, but the painting is unharmed. Thank God. The Metropolitan Police said officers were rapidly on the scene in the National Gallery this morning after Just Stop Oil protesters threw a substance over a painting and then glued themselves to a wall. I mean, honest to goodness, activism and climate activism. And here's what one of the activists sounded like after attacking the painting and gluing himself to the wall. Listen, this is clip 8.
What is worth more, art or life? Is it worth more than food? Worth more than justice? Are you more concerned about the protection of a painting or the protection of our planet and people? The cost of living crisis is part of the cost of oil crisis. Fuel is unaffordable to millions of cold, hungry families. They can't even afford to heat a tin of soup.
Okay, the interesting question here is which is worth more, art or life? How does destroying or attempting to destroy, thank God they apparently didn't do any destruction of the painting, which was one of seven sunflowers works that Van Gogh created in 1888 and 1889, five of which are on display in galleries and museums across the world. The question here is, how does damaging that painting help people afford oil?
How dare you? How dare you?
And by the way, you're right. It does sound like Greta Thunberg, doesn't it? I mean, the whole tone, the whole self-importance and solemn. Let's hear again her first declaration about which do you prefer, art or life, because it's so profound. Listen.
What is worth more, art or life?
Okay. Really? How does destroying art promote life?
Blah, blah, blah.
You don't have to choose. This is extraordinary and very sad. The gallery describes the sunflower painting as among Van Gogh's most iconic and best-loved work. The action comes 3 months after members of the same group pasted paper over John Constable's The Hay Wain in the same gallery. What's interesting about this is one of the best movies of this year is a movie about someone for political purposes stealing a painting out of the same gallery, the National Gallery. It's a movie called The Duke with Helen Mirren and Jim Broadbent. And at least the people who stole the painting at that point, yes, they did it for a political purpose to stop the BBC tax, but they didn't want to destroy the painting. And we're not asking for publicity. Certainly they've gotten publicity on this one. There's more, and one of the fascinating issues that was raised in conversation about football and the world of football, that fine art, involved the Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach Todd Bowles, who was asked a series of obnoxious questions about this weekend's upcoming showdown with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Instead of focusing on the game, reporters kept pointing out the fact that Bowles and his opposing head coach Mike Tomlin are both black. Listen, this is clip 3.
you and Mike Tomlin are two of the people, like, coaches in the league. I wonder what your relationship is like with them and your thoughts on Steve Wilkes joining that fold.
I have a very good relationship with Tomlin. We don't look at what color we are when we coach against each other. We just know each other. I have a lot of very good white friends that coach in this league as well, and I don't think it's a big deal as far as us being coaching against each other. I think it's normal. Wilkes got an opportunity to do a good job. Hopefully he does it. And we coach ball. We don't look at color.
But you also understand that representation matters too, right? And that when young aspiring coaches or even football players, they see you guys, you know, they see someone that looks like them, think you grew up like them, that has to mean something.
Well, when you say you see you guys and look like them and grow up like them, it means that we're eyeballs to begin with. And I think the minute you guys stop making a big deal about it, everybody else will as well.
Okay, this is very, very important, and it goes perfectly with a powerful column written by David Brooks, and it's about the ongoing situation in L.A. City Hall, where the council president, Nuri Martinez, has been forced to resign, and there are two other Latino members of the city council who are under pressure to resign because of a completely outrageous racist conversation in which they were engaged, where they called an adoptive black child of one of their fellow council members, who happens to be gay and married, they called his adoptive son a monkey. And it's horrible. There was tape of the conversation. What David Brooks writes, and it's a very, very important point. When race is everything, this happens. The subheading, "Stop Turning Public Life into a Brutal Struggle of Group Against Group." The idea of group identity based on race, not on values, not even on history, but on race alone, it's outrageous. We're coming to that on the MedVet Show.
Enough of him.
Michael MedVet.
Enough of him. It's not worth it to just dwell on him.
Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief watching the world lose its mind. As we all know, global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits are in stock and ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats standing in government food lines. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Medved show. Look, there was a truly inspiring, simply because he's saying something that's obviously true. The head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Todd Bowles, really came after reporters, I think very effectively, talking about the obsession with race and classifying everyone and based upon race. And David Brooks has a column. It's one of those columns that you're going to want to cut out and save because it applies to so many issues that we face in the society right now. He writes that council president, this is the city council president in L.A., Nuri Martinez, who has been resigned from the council, along with two Latino colleagues and a labor ally, talked about a range of subjects, including redistricting, but two assumptions undergirded much of what they said to each other that got them all in a world of trouble. Their first assumption was that America is divided into monolithic racial blocks. The world they take for granted is not a world of persons. It's a world of rigid racial categories. At one point, Martinez vulgarly derided someone because, quote, he's with the blacks. You're either with one racial army or you're with another. The second assumption was that these monolithic racial blocks are locked into a never-ending ethnic war for power. The core topic of their conversation was to redraw city council districts to benefit Latino leaders. It's real simple. One of the participants in the fatal conversation said at one point, you got 100 people, right? 52 of them are Americano. I feel pretty good about that. I feel pretty good about my chances of beating your beep. Those two assumptions didn't come out of nowhere. We've had a long-running debate in this country over how to think about racial categories, Brooks writes. On the one side, there are those often associated with Ibram X. Kendi and others who see American society as a conflict between oppressor and oppressed groups. They center race and race consciousness when talking about a person's identity. Justice will come only when minority group power is used to push back on white supremacy. As Kendi puts it, the only remedy to racist discrimination is anti-racist discrimination. On the other side, writes David Brooks, there are others like Thomas Chatterton, Thomas Chatterton Williams, Coleman Hughes, and Rehan Selam, who argue that racial categorization itself can be the problem.
That conversation that shocked everybody in Los Angeles is what happens when the assumption of the former school of thought are embraced as a matter of course. You don't get a righteous struggle against oppression. You get a bunch of people who assume that public life is a brutal struggle of group against group, and who are probably going to develop derogatory views of people in rival groups. Los Angeles is a version of the American future. America is diversifying rapidly, and before long there will be no single majority group. On the ground, groups are mixing and blending. About 3 in 10 Asian newlyweds were married to somebody from a different race or ethnicity in 2015, as were around 1 in 4 Hispanics and roughly 1 in 5 Black Americans. 6 years earlier, 35% of Americans said that one of their close kin was married to someone of a different race. As this blending continues, racial and ethnic categories get a lot more fluid. In an essay for The Atlantic, Richard Alba, Morris Levy, and Dowell Myers noted that by 2060, 40% of the Americans who will say they are white will also claim another identity. 52% of the individuals categorized as non-white will also identify as white. That's what happens when basically you break down racial categories and don't obsess on them. Sadly, history shows us how ridiculously easy it is for people to whip up in-group versus out-group hostilities, especially if they can spread a worldview that asserts that life is essentially about a zero-sum war of group against group. If we use rhetoric and tell stories that expand the definition of we, if we continue to emphasize how complicated personal and national identities really are, if we emphasize overlapping and inclusive identities, then we have a shot at making something special out of all this diversity. If we use rhetoric, though, that assumes that we're all locked into rigid racial blocks and that group conflict is the essential element of public life, then a group conflict is what we will get. Balkanization on a continental scale. That's not just about LA City Council members. That's about a set of ideas and a way of talking too readily accepted in this society. And for which I can only say bravo. Look, it's very important to put all of this into some kind of meaningful context. I mean, especially when we have so many real problems, so many ideas where people are divided. And look, some of those ideas are political. Last night there was a debate in the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin. And it's attracting a lot of attention because they asked a question that was one of the same questions they'd asked in one of the Hillary Clinton-Donald Trump debates. And actually, both Hillary and Trump gave good answers at the time, generous answers. Here's the question with which the moderators closed last night's debate between Republican incumbent Ron Johnson and the lieutenant governor who's challenging him, Mandela Barnes, the Democrat. Barnes goes first. They ask, okay, can you conclude by saying something admirable about your opponent? Listen.
All right, we are down to one final question here, and both of you have said a lot tonight about each other. Now, when we traveled around the state talking with voters, we heard repeatedly from people tired of divisive politics and attack ads. So our final question here tonight is, both of you have been successful in life. You have 30 seconds here. Mr. Barnes, you go first. What do you find admirable about your opponent?
Well, no, seriously, I do think, you know, the senator has proven to be a family man, and I think that's admirable. You know, that's absolutely to be respected. He speaks about his family. He's done a lot to provide for them. I absolutely respect that.
Mr. Johnson.
I mean, likewise, I appreciate the fact that Lieutenant Governor Barnes had loving parents, a school teacher, father worked third shift, so he had, you know, good upbringing. I guess what puzzles me about that is, with that upbringing, why is he turned against America? I mean, why does he find America awful?
Somehow,
it puzzles
me.
We did not.
I said, please, we said something admirable.
I think that's one of those mistakes where you can understand it. He wanted to get in one last shot. But sometimes for politicians, it's easier to step into negativity and to make mistakes based upon negativity and nastiness than it would be for Ron Johnson, for instance, who is running a strong race. He looks like he's going to keep his Senate seat. This is one of those things that's been encouraging to Republicans. It was very, very close. Johnson now in most polls is 5 or 6 points ahead. But the point being that the advice, especially when they're asking, say, something admirable, stop when you're saying something generous about his family. Why not? The idea that you get booed and people snickering and laughing at you at the same time, that's not a political situation that you want. Speaking of political situations that you want, another Senate race, very bitter Senate race with a great deal of negativity on both sides, involves John Fetterman, another lieutenant governor, Democrat, who is challenging for a Republican seat. This is one of those seats, but battle between John Fetterman and Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz, in Pennsylvania, that will decide the direction and the control of the U.S. Senate. Why is it that Paul Kangor, who is a Pennsylvanian, born in Pennsylvania, longtime ties to the state, why is it that he believes that John Fetterman is not the worst, but the weirdest Senate candidate in all history? We will get to that consideration and what the mystery tattoo said on his right arm that he blocked out with a black rectangle. That and more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Fred Dreyer here for a product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. Most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Do you suffer with joint discomfort? Getting out of bed in the morning feeling how stiff your body is and wondering how bad is it going to get as the years go by? Try Balance 7. It reduces the acid buildup in the body. In 3 days' time, you will feel a great improvement. Getting older doesn't have to mean it has to get worse. Use Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.